Chapter 100. The sharp clang of metal on metal rang through the fuselage of the windowless C-130 transport, causing the provost to jump. Outside, someone was banging the butt of a pistol against the aircraft's hatch and demanding entry. "Everyone stay seated," the C-130 pilot commanded, moving toward the door. "It's the Turkish police. They just drove out to the plane." The provost and Ferris exchanged a quick glance. From the flurry of panicked calls among the WHO's staff on board, the provost sensed that their containment mission had failed. "Zobrist carried out his plan," he thought, "and my company made it possible." Outside the hatch, authoritative-sounding voices began shouting in Turkish. The provost jumped to his feet. "Don't open the door," he ordered the pilot. The pilot stopped short, glaring at the provost. "Why the hell not?" "The WHO is an international relief organization," the provost replied, "and this plane is sovereign territory." The pilot shook his head. "Sir, this plane is parked at a Turkish airport, and until it leaves Turkish airspace, it is subject to the laws of the land." The pilot moved to the exit and threw open the hatch. Two uniformed men stared in. Their humorless eyes showed not the slightest hint of leniency.
"Who is the captain of this aircraft?" one of them demanded in a heavy accent.
"I am," the pilot said. An officer handed the pilot two sheets of paper.
"Arrest documents. These two passengers must come with us."
The pilot skimmed the pages and glanced over at the provost and Ferris.
"Call Dr. Sinsky," the provost ordered the WHO pilot. "We're on an international emergency mission."
One of the officers eyed the provost with an amused sneer.
"Dr. Elizabeth Sinsky, director of the World Health Organization? She is the one who ordered your arrest."
"That can't be," the provost replied. "Mr. Ferris and I are here in Turkey trying to help Dr. Sinsky."
"Then you're not doing a very good job," the second officer replied.
"Dr. Sinsky contacted us and named you both as conspirators in a bioterrorism plot on Turkish soil."
He pulled out handcuffs. "You are both coming to headquarters for questioning."
"I demand an attorney," the provost shouted.
30 seconds later, he and Ferris were shackled, muscled down the gangway, and shoved roughly into the back seat of a black sedan. The sedan raced away, skimming across the tarmac to a remote corner of the airport, where it stopped at a chicken wire fence that had been cut and pulled apart to allow their car to pass. Once through the perimeter fence, the car bounced across a dusty wasteland of broken airport machinery and came to a halt near an old service building. The two uniformed men got out of the sedan and scanned the area. Apparently satisfied that they had not been followed, they stripped off their police uniforms and tossed them aside. Then they helped Ferris and the provost out of the car and removed their handcuffs. The provost rubbed his wrists, realizing that he would not do well in captivity.